Hello and welcome into Jam Session. Glad to have whoever you are listening to us. Jam Session is Matt McLaren and Jean-Jacques Taylor. We're two guys who used to do a radio show on ESPN Radio in Dallas, Texas. We now do this podcast. We talk a lot about the Dallas Cowboys, other Dallas sports teams, and just our interests in Dallas, nightlife, stories, beer, all kinds of things. Glad to have you. Thanks for listening. Let's get going.
Welcome. It's nice to have you here. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will.
You're listening to the Jam Session Podcast.
I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
With Cowboys insider...
What's your name?
Jean-Jacques Taylor.
That's my name.
Radio personality and craft beer expert, Matt McLaren.
He's a very strange young man.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing.
And now, the Jam Session Podcast.
It is indeed Jam Session. Subscribe, rate, review, hang out with us for a while. Right here on the Jam Session Podcast. Sponsored as always by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law will fight that legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal. But right now, that moment we've all been awaiting for has arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, the radio, the TV, the podcast star, the sexy Jean-Jacques Taylor.
What up, though?
I would be the non-sexy one. It's Matt McLaren. This is Jam Session, the podcast, version 401, asking simply that you prepare to be dazzled.
If not entertained.
And we will do our best to do that for you because the Dallas Cowboys, as many of you listening to this on Monday, they are all getting on a plane and headed to California for the beginning of training camp 2023. Camp week is upon us. It's wild that it's here. It all begins out there in Oxnard. It's awesome. Very excited when the season gets underway. So we're going to dive into that a little bit. Got some other things for you. But it does start with Greening Law, man. I mean, our sponsors have made this thing possible for 401 episodes. We appreciate what they do. But the reality of it is they also offer a service in which you can use. And I know because I used Greening Law. I've talked about it all the time. If you're injured in a car accident, if you're hurt on the premises of a business, if you find yourself with an injury to your person and it wasn't your fault and you need to get insurance companies involved, man, you need an expert to help you with that. And that's where Greening Law comes in. Robert Greening and his Green Team will guide you through that process.
No, that's what they do. Matt can speak firsthand from experience that when you're going up against somebody's, some other person's insurance company, you want to be protected, man. You want somebody who'll ride with you, be in the trenches with you, show you how to go, when to turn left, when to turn right. And I like to say, answer questions that you didn't even know were supposed to be asked. Think about that for a second. So if you're involved in an incident, and it doesn't matter if you've been injured away from your home, whether it's medical malpractice, whether it's, you know, at a construction site, a corporation, a business that's not your house, you know, pick up the phone. Call 972-934-8900 and say, hey, Green Team, here's my situation. What do you guys think? Consultation's free. It costs nothing to pick up the phone. And then, you know, if they don't get paid unless you get paid. So they will work and grind for you for as long as it takes to get the job done.
That's exactly right, man. And that consultation, again, it's free. Give them a call, 972-934-8900. 972-934-8900. It's Robert Greening, offices, Dallas, Texas. Well, it's here, man. It is the Cowboys camp week. The first practice will be on Wednesday at 1:30 out there in gorgeous Oxnard, California, where the temperatures every day peak at about 75. There's hardly a cloud in the sky. It's sunny. It's gorgeous. You got to wear a light jacket in the morning because there's a chill.
Yeah, you do.
It doesn't get any better than that. And the Cowboys get geared up and ready to go. And I will say it's interesting. You know, there's always the Dak conversations and people talk about that. But I've seen a lot of this in the last week or so. I know Gelkin had an article in the Dallas Morning News on it. I saw it pop up a couple of times. This is weird. I don't ever actually watch ESPN unless I'm watching a game or something. But in the radio station where I work, there are five TVs in our studio. And one is always on the SEC network. One is always on ESPN. You know, and so you see these different, like, I'm not actively watching it, but you'll see a headline pop up or whatever. And man, a couple of times last week on ESPN, where they're going through their different shows like NFL Live and even on SportsCenter and whatnot, I'm starting to see a lot more about the Cowboys defense. And I guess rightly so. And I thought it might be interesting to take a look at this defense because, You know, I don't know how many, I did not know this. I don't know how many people realized this. They led the NFL, I knew this, they led the NFL in takeaways last year. That's two straight years they've led the NFL in takeaways. That is the first time that a defense has done that in consecutive seasons since the Steel Curtain did it in the mid-70s.
Which number one, is wild.
Yes.
Which number two makes sense to me because of this. You know, it's just the way that they scheme it up, man. And the reason why most people, you know, most teams can't do it is, while there is a skill to it, there's also a luck factor involved in creating turnovers. And most of the time, it's just hard to replicate that luck in consecutive years.
Yeah, and that's where it's, you know, it's interesting, man, because you wonder, can you do it again for a third year? And I don't even know that you have to lead the league in takeaways, but the way that they've put this defense together, they're going to take the ball away from the opposing offense.
Yeah. Well, see, I was going to say, no, you don't have to be in the league. You don't have to lead the league in turnovers. You just like to be in that 28 to plus range, be amongst the top five. But I told you this years ago, bro. I mean, it could only be so many years ago. But to me, and I always like to use Byron Jones as a good example. Byron Jones played 50-something games. I mean, played 5 years, 80 games with the Cowboys, more or less. Intercepted two passes, and one of those was a end-of-the-half Hail Mary against Tampa Bay, I believe.
Yeah.
Why? He didn't intercept a lot of passes in college. He probably didn't intercept a lot of passes in high school. He was not a guy who created turnovers. He did a lot of other good things. He knocked down passes. He played good defense, all of that. But he was just not a guy who created turnovers. Now, I'm not comparing him to Ed Reed, okay? So let's just stop that. But look at a guy like Ed Reed. Everything you see about him is he just picked up a turnover. He just created a turnover. And so some guys just have a knack for it. And so what you want to do, in my opinion, is you build teams with those guys who have a knack for it on your defense. And when you do that, it happens. Donovan Wilson, he got a knack for creating turnovers, bro. Malik Hooker, he has a knack for creating turnovers. And so when you have a team full of guys like that, the turnovers come.
Yeah, and the way they've built this thing, man, it's really interesting, because you look at this last year in the NFL, they allowed the sixth fewest points, only an average of 20 a game. But, and we all know this, and we're going to dive into this a little bit here, but they were 22nd against the run and allowed 4.4 yards per attempt against the run. And for comparison's sake, that's about a little worse than average in the NFL. But the 49ers and the Titans both led the NFL. They only allowed 3.4 yards an attempt, which obviously is insanely good. But right, you look at what they've done this offseason. They went out and got Stephon Gilmore in a trade. And this is not Defensive Player of the Year Stephon Gilmore from 2019, but he did have a couple of picks last year. He had two and five games the year before. But as we've kind of talked about, he's also on his third team in 3 years, and he turns 33 years old in mid-September. You know, they re-signed Van Der Esch. They re-signed Donovan Wilson. But one thing that they've done, and they did this in the draft, and they did it technically free agency, they traded for Jonathan Hankins last year and made sure they went out and re-signed him. And then they spent three of their first four draft picks on defensive players, including Mazi Smith in the first round at defensive tackle. So it really feels like with the re-signing of a big, thick dude like Hankins and the drafting of Smith, they recognize, hey, we're weak up the middle on this thing. We got to get better. And I think that they've got a chance to do that with those two dudes in the fold.
You know, really, bro, that's a great point that I think most people overlooked. And it's that Hankins is a bona fide run stopper. He's one of them 350-pound dudes you can't move. Only problem is he's older now. So when you get him and you have Mazi, you have insurance against the run. And, you know, this has never been a team to spend any money on run stoppers, the one technique, the zero technique, nose guard. But anyway, they just haven't – it's never been a priority because they wanted smaller, faster defenders. Well, what happens is, yeah, you can make plays in the backfield if you can get penetration. If can't, you get run over. Now they've got a big, stout defensive line on first and second down if they want to dissuade you from running the ball. And then we all know they hell on third down with the pass rushers and the cornerbacks. They do have a chance. They were really good defense last year. They've got a chance to be elite, man. And if they can stay healthy, they've just got a chance to be one of the best units in the NFL.
They really do. And now, because Dan Quinn continues to come back, and I didn't think he'd be back for year two. I didn't think he'd be back for year three. And yet here he is. There are 18 players on this defense that will be entering their third year with Dan Quinn after already having the defenses that we've seen, which is really interesting that they've had that type of continuity. And they obviously, as we just talked about, they've added some pieces here. You know, I'll be curious to see what Overshown does, the third round pick at linebacker. They seem to be high on Fehoko, the rookie out of the fourth round, but just different pieces that they can rotate in. Coming back, and again, back-to-back years led the NFL in takeaways, and they led the NFL in quarterback pressure last year. They generated pressure on 43.8% of dropbacks. And that's where this gets interesting is, okay, you're already at a certain level. Now, a lot of these pieces are the same coming back for another year, and the real weak point of the defense, at least on paper, it seems like you've upgraded. So I agree, man. This is going to be a really, I'm not saying 49ers level, maybe, I don't know, but man, they got a chance to be one of the top four or five defenses in the NFL.
No, I don't think you're going out on some limb saying that. I don't think you have to be like, I don't know if they're really that good. On paper, they're going to be terrific. Or how about this? On Madden, they're going to be fantastic because yeah, they'll play to their pedigree every play. And what happens is, you know, if they can stop the run, and we just talked about the pieces that they added to do that, they are built to destroy you as a pass unit. You know, with the Tank Lawrence and Micah Parsons and what they've done there. Don't forget Donovan Wilson. If they would turn him loose, that dude could have 6 or 7 sacks this year. Yeah. I think he had 4 last year, 4 or 5. But they're just the way that they're built, man. They're built to stop the pass and rush the passer. But now, if you can play with a lead and, you know, dominate the run defense, then there's really no limits to what they can do defensively because Dan Quinn has already told you. He's a superior defensive coordinator. I mean, he's fantastic.
No doubt.
I love the way he attacks, and I love the way he puts guys in position to make plays and do what they do best. He is a defensive football savant. And the more that they can play with a lead and give him a chance to do his thing, the better this team's going to be.
Yeah, and you look at it, man. Like you bring up, obviously, we all know what Micah can do. Tank still got something left, I think. You look at Sam Williams, who was a rookie last year. I mean, keep in mind, that dude was a second-round draft pick, and he showed some flashes last year. Dorrance Armstrong in that rotation. You really got to like some of the pieces that they have. I mean, I don't even know where I would look at it because the idea, again, being that they turned probably the weakest part in the middle, hopefully into, I don't know if I'd say a strength, but an upgrade from what it was, you got to believe.
Right.
I don't even know where you look at on this defense as now what would be the weak point. And maybe it's the other linebacker spots. I mean, Leighton is what he is. I think Damone Clark's probably going to be out there a bit.
Yeah, but see, this is what I be getting at when I'm talking about building a team. The worst thing you could say about Leighton Vander Esch is he's a solid player. That's the worst thing you
right,
can say
yeah,
about him.
Yeah.
And he's a really good really good pass defender, and he's a good tackler. And he's really probably above average. So if the worst thing you say about a cat who you're like, I don't know, is he's an above average player, you're winning. And that's what they've got on their defense. They don't really have, and I say this from time to time, they don't really have any bad players on their defensive team. They're the average, above average, solid, but nobody who's bad. And if you don't have bad players, you can really win.
Yeah, man. I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, even the secondary now, because it feels that way with Gilmore being there and Diggs on the other side, Jordan Lewis coming back healthy, and he can be a really good slot corner. And then your safeties with Wilson and Hooker, I mean, Curse, obviously. This is a really nice defense, man. And that's why when you look at the scope, and we've spent a lot of time this offseason talking about looking around the NFC, it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of teams, and it's the 49ers and Eagles, I get it. But it really feels like the depth of the NFL is over in the AFC right now. We've talked about it when you look at the quarterbacks of the NFC, but when you start looking at just the teams and where the Cowboys are, especially as a defensive unit against some of the other teams just in this conference, I think that's why there's a lot of optimism that this is a really good year for the Cowboys to actually punch through and do something and lose again in the divisional round.
Stop, man. Stop.
I think you just have to. They've got a good team. You know, everybody wants, as I like to used to say from time to time, everybody wants these answers right now. Where you're not, you can't get them right now. You have to let the season play out.
Yeah.
But they're poised to do great things. But here's the deal, man. And this is not the complicated part, okay? To me, it's the most simplistic thing ever, but it's also the hardest thing ever. And to me, this is what has to happen, which is when the Cowboys, now, some of y'all have no concept of this, back when they were winning Super Bowls. Here's the deal, bro. Their best players, the guys who made it happen, were either Hall of Famers or Pro Bowl caliber players. Troy, Emmitt, Mike, Deion, Woodson, Haley, Novacek, Johnson. All those guys have been like either in the Hall of Fame or been Hall of Fame semifinalists or on the list to be in the Hall of Fame, bro. But here's the thing. Those cats did what, Matt? Typically played their best football when it mattered most in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they won every game. But even when they had the 21-0 start against San Francisco, what happened? They got within a touchdown, I think, and finally lost 38-28. So my point is, for the Cowboys to do what folks and fans want them to do, their best players at winning time have got to do the damn thing. And, you know, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, at winning time, those guys play their best football for the Chiefs. And so the Cowboys, man, it's going to come down to Dak in the playoffs and Tank in the playoffs and Micah in the playoffs and CeeDee Lamb and those guys playing their best football in the playoffs when it matters most if they're going to end this drought.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, the expectation for me this season, like I, and this is crazy to think, but it is playoffs. Like you, this is a playoff team that should have a shot at advancing through the NFC. But what's interesting is we say this, we were all thrilled last year, like, okay, you make the playoffs again. That was the first time they'd made it in consecutive years in since 06, 07. They haven't made the playoffs in three straight seasons since 94, 95, 96.
See? I didn't even realize that, and I've been around for all of them.
I mean, think about that, man. And obviously, those were the last three seasons when they went six consecutive years to the playoffs. But they have not made the playoffs in three straight years since that 90s run started to come to an end.
Wow.
And that's why, you know, when you look at it, if they can do that again this year, we just haven't seen that in forever, which seems insane to think, but that's the reality of the situation. I mean, we've seen 3 and 4 years, you know, hell, even towards the end of Romo and the first couple of years of Dak, when they'd make the playoffs, miss, make the playoffs, but not three straight. And it's hard to do in the NFL in a league that's about parity. And we all know this. It's not quite 50% anymore because they've expanded to 7 teams. We don't have enough data yet. But, I mean, reality of it is, in the 12-team playoff area, for years, every year, on average, 6 teams that didn't make the playoffs the year before would make the playoffs the next year.
You're right. So there's so much turnover, man. It's you can still be good and get knocked out. And plus, you know, a lot of times it's a game of injuries, man, a game of attrition.
Yeah.
Who can outlast the injuries that come? It's just part of the game. And that's why it's so hard to do it year after year after year. That's what makes the Patriots run so impressive. But I'm telling you, dude, there's no good reason why they shouldn't make it 3 years in a row. And to me, the biggest thing is they had a really, really good team and they wouldn't try to make it better. So many times they've had a really, really good team and just maintained the status quo. We lost these two guys, so we replaced them with these two guys. We're the same. This time they really tried to get better. And here's the other thing, man. They still a relatively young team. So a guy like Tony Pollard, a guy like CeeDee Lamb, a guy like Donovan Wilson, those cats can still be expected to get better and improve.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very interesting season because the expectations are high. They truly are. This is a... As we mentioned, McCarthy's been here for a while now. Dan Quinn and the defense going into year three, we know the pieces. Dak can't possibly, surely not, throw the ball to the other team as many times as he did last year. This is a really good football team, but it's going to be interesting because you look at the NFC, there's going to be a couple teams, like Detroit is probably going to be a popular playoff pick this year, and they didn't make it last year. I think in the South, you know, Tampa's probably done. So who's going to come out of the South? Can Carolina do it with the rookie quarterback? I don't know. Derek Carr being in New Orleans might be enough for New Orleans to get into the playoffs. And that's where this is going to get interesting, because there'll be two or three teams that nobody, like the Giants last year, nobody had them going to the playoffs. And I don't know. That's why the NFL is just so damn popular, because year in and year out, there's those four or five teams where you're like, holy hell, Seattle's going to the playoffs? What? Jacksonville's winning the division? So I don't know. I get excited. Training camp is an exciting time because, like you were talking about, everybody right now is healthy. With health, this is one of the best teams in the NFL. Now, can you capitalize on that? I don't know. The faith part is hard because of the history of what we know this thing is.
Oh, no doubt, bro. I mean, we know that to be the case, and that's what makes it fun. I think this, well, I'm not going to say it because I think that's living in the moment. I was going to say this is a year, I think, where the anticipation is so high, but we've had several of those years, and normally they end with the Cowboys not coming anything close to expectations. But I think there's a lot of pressure on the head coach. And they basically fired Kellen Moore. So right. Now you fired Kellen Moore. You took his spot. You got a good quarterback. And, dude, it's going to be fun because the schedule's tough with the AFC East.
Yes, it is.
And I think they got the NFC West. And so the schedule's going to be tough. But, you know, that's life in a big city. It prepares you for the season. And, dude, I have a good feeling about this team. I think it's a mature team. I think they're old in the right spots. I believe, without equivocation, that the quarterback's going to have a bounce-back year. And I'm with you, man. I think their defense is something to be said. And if they can get that offensive line figured out, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be really, really good.
I do, too, man. And as wild as it is, because, again, we made such a big deal out of it last year. And then, look, it sucks that I don't like when they lose in the playoffs. It sucks. But they did get to the divisional round of the playoffs last year, which was a step further than they got the year before. They did win, not only make the playoffs in consecutive years for the first time since 06, 07. They won 10-plus games in consecutive years. That you see that get thrown out every once in a while. And that's the first time they've done that since 95, 96. And now, again, you're trying to do it for three straight years, going back to we haven't seen that playoffs or 10-plus win seasons in three consecutive years. Same thing. You got to go all the way back to 94, 95, 96, the last time it happened 3 years in a row. But I expect that from this team. I expect this to be 11-6, 12-5 type team.
Okay, here's my only goal for them. Now, I didn't say this was an easy goal because it's the only goal. To me, they've got to figure out how to have one of the two best records in the NFC. To me, the easiest way to do that for now is to win the division. And here's my point, obviously. If you got one of the two best records, you've only got to play two games to get to the Super Bowl. And one of those will be at home. And out of Philly and San Francisco, you'll only have to play one of them, not both of them, in most.
No, keep in mind, there's only one bye now.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, only one team. You got to be the top team in the conference to get the bye.
All right, well, then that should be the goal.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. If you can beat San Francisco, if you can beat Philly and win the division, then you should be in the running for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you should be. I think they'll be up there. But again, it's always interesting when everybody seems to agree, the top teams are Philadelphia, San Francisco, and probably Dallas.
Check this out. If they play to their, I don't like to say potential, if they play to what people think, Detroit could end up being a top team this year. Why, Matt?
You tell me. Because they've got a quarterback that they like and their defense and Dan Campbell. Plus, they don't have to play.
Not only are they good, their division sucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't have to play that tough of a schedule because of the division that they're in.
Right. So if you can, and that's how you end up coming out of nowhere. They got momentum from last year, but, the only thing about the Giants and the only thing about the Lions is when you have those good seasons, you no longer get to pass. Now, when teams say, we got the Lions this week, let's make sure everybody's prepared for the Lions like you would prepare for the Eagles. And there'll be some other team that slips up on us that we aren't paying attention to. So, but that's why the NFL is fun, man. It's going to be really fun this year.
It is. And it all starts this week. The Cowboys camp in California. It's here. It's here, which means we're only, and I know, I always get excited for the first preseason game. I don't know why. I guess because it's just football and you get to see these dudes. And I'll watch like the first quarter and be like, oh yeah, this is dumb.
Well, let me see how to say this. The way the NFL goes now, who knows how many starters you'll see in the first game. Now it's all about, you know, the second tier guys,
right,
and all of that and what they can provide and who they are and who ends up making a run to the roster. And, you know, will a guy like Isaiah Land, who's the undrafted free agent out of Florida A&M, who had a down year as a senior because he had some injuries and then he had some off-the-field issues that academic-wise it weren't really his fault per se, but he got caught up in it. But, dude, that dude as a junior had like 19 sacks and 30 tackles for losses. And here's what I'm comparing it to. The guy who just barely nudged him out for defensive player of the year in the SWAC, the year that he had 19 sacks and 30 tackles for losses because he was not defensive player of the year, that guy was a seventh round pick of the Detroit Lions. Got put on a practice squad. They brought him up about 5 or 6 weeks into the season because of injury. And I think he had 8 sacks in the last 12 games. And my point being, there's talent at the elite level of the SWAC. And if you can get to that guy, Isaiah Land, to give you some of what James Houston gave Detroit, you know, things could get tricky in a hurry. But that's what you look for in the preseason.
It is. And the Cowboys, just so everybody is aware, their first preseason game will be August 12th against the Jaguars.
That really is not too far.
Yeah, that's like what I'm saying, weeks. Dude. That's the weekend of my fantasy football draft, and we're all going to be together, so that'll be badass because we'll be able to have our draft drink and watch Cowboys preseason football.
Where y'all doing that at?
It's going to be in Oklahoma City.
I do love the fantasy draft that travels. Do y'all even got somebody in Oklahoma City?
Nope, but it was supposed to be in a different location, and that was unable to happen. So everybody still wanted to do a destination, and so I threw out, I was like, hey, I don't know how many of you guys have ever been to Oklahoma City, but it's actually a really cool town. Yeah, there's good breweries. It's easy to get around. The downtown is walkable, and there's some fun stuff to do. I was like, it's 4 hours from Dallas, so those of you that don't want to fly can drive. And our Austin and Houston guys, you know, you can. It's a quick flight, not bad. So it's the we all pitched in and got a crazy ass Airbnb.
Oh, okay.
Because it's on a, it's like, I mean, it is like a mansion. But see, this is the one thing about Airbnb that's badass is all 12 of us are actually going to be there this year. And so this thing is like 1,000-something a night.
Right.
But when you split it 12 ways, I'm trying to remember because I think per night it was like $70-something each, which is cheaper than a hotel. And it's a nice mansion.
Yeah.
So because we did that, I mean, this place is going to be awesome. Like there'll probably be a day where we just hang out there and like, cause there's a pool table and stuff and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So
how much are you guys going to have to pitch in on cleaning supplies?
I don't know. It's whatever
no, I mean, like mops and brooms so that you don't get hit with a cleaning fee after you leave.
No, man, that's already tied into that. I mean, that's,
No. You know, you've missed my joke. So now it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. Sorry. No, I mean, I get it. Cause you got hit with a cleaning fee.
Yes, although I just went to one and I didn't get hit with any fees.
Yeah, see, time. So it's like, you're all right.
Yeah.
Different strokes, man. I don't know. Some people are just anal about it and dicks, to be honest with you.
Yeah, or that other thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. So, yeah, but that's where it's going to be. And then, yeah, it's fun, man. Doing the destination is a lot of fun. This is our 18th year. And I think next year it might just be in Dallas. And then for our 20th year, everybody, dudes keep throwing out they want to go to Vegas. And I'm like, why would we go to a fantasy football draft in Vegas? We're not, I don't know. So we'll see what happens. But our 20th year, we'll do something cool. I was like, I'd rather pitch in, get a beach house, and go to the beach.
Yeah, that too.
That'd be a lot of fun. But who knows, man? We'll see how it is. I can tell you this, though. You don't have to have any questions about where to take your car, what to do when you need an oil change. Man, I got to get an oil change. See, this is a friggin' problem because I'm not by Freeway Tire Shop like all of you listening. because I got to go get an oil change. I'm like, man, I don't want to go get an oil change. Where am I going to go? And having the peace of mind of just, like, even if something as simple as an oil change, just having that peace of mind that I can drop it off at freeway. JR will take care of it. His guys, his crew, they stand behind the work. It's nice to have that right there available for you north of downtown Dallas.
Dude, JR is the best, man. I've been taking my cars there for years now, and I will keep on doing so, you know, probably until I can catch a drone somewhere, transport somewhere by myself, like on Star Trek. Nice. But I do that because, simple reason, really, is you can trust him, man. That's really why I get down with JR, no more, no less. I can trust him to diagnose what's wrong with my car quickly. I can trust him to use quality parts, man. I can trust him to charge me a fair price, which is huge these days. And then finally, man, I can trust him to stand behind his work. I just got some car inspections a couple weeks ago, had an oil change. I had some other work on another car. He took care of that. And every time, man, it's perfect. So as I like to say, it's 5 minutes from downtown, right up 35 off of Commonwealth. You go through the light, look to the right. There he is. And if you're a mechanic is not doing every single solitary thing that I just mentioned that JR and Freeway Tire does, then you need to go see him pronto, quick, in a hurry, yeah. Fast.
It's easy, man. Freeway Tire Shop, check them out online too if you'd like. Also, of course, Smokey John's Barbecue. These guys have been with us, much like JR and Freeway Tire Shop and HFX Foundation. I mean, since the very beginning of doing this, 400 some odd episodes ago, and you know, when Smokey John's jumped on with us and created the Jam Session Bowl for all you guys and gals that listen to this thing, the Jam fans, it's just such a cool thing that you can walk into Smokey John's. And not only did they already have insanely good barbecue, but they put something together that's not even on the menu that you have to listen to the podcast to be able to get, which is, that'll never not be awesome to me. The fact that you can go in there and order something in secret, that's like a secret code between all of us.
Dude, man, it makes it special. I've done it before and had people say, hey, what is that? It looks great. And I go over there and make a big deal out of it in a funny way. But it's all cool, man. And a Jam Session Bowl is where it's at. You've got to try it. Once you do, it's just a matter of time before you go, how often will you be back and try it again? Because that's really all that you need to wonder about. But yeah. The Jam Session Bowl is great. It's the mac and cheese, mashed potato base, 2 out of 5 smoked meats. I usually rock with the brisket and the sausage. Occasionally, it's the brisket and the chicken or the chicken and the sausage. But one of those three is my two mix. And then, man, all the stuff you find on a loaded baked potato, from butter to cheese to sour cream to chives, you know, bacon bits. It's all fantastic, man. Then they either drizzle that sauce on there or they drench it with that sauce. It's to live for. You got a shorty. The three of y'all can eat off of it as long as they're, you know, 6 or 7. And two people can eat off of it easily, probably have leftovers. It's fabulous. Smokey John's, man, they do some great work. You can catch them on TV all the time. That's how big time they are these days. They got the products at HEB and Frisco. I mean, they are as big as they get in Dallas restaurants.
Yeah, they are. Smokey John's, man. Check them out. Enjoy it, because I know you will. And also, of course, HFX Foundation Solutions, making this thing happen. And we appreciate them for so long. We all have homes. And if you're in the North Texas area, man, at some point you start wondering, was that cracked there before? This door isn't opening the way that it used to. And you may have a foundation issue. It's very, very common in North Texas. And that's why companies like Aaron exist. Family owned, they're local. He offers a free, no obligation inspection. So if you think you have a problem, it's best not to go, it's just a small crack. Once it gets bigger, we'll do something about it. You should do it immediately. Give HFX Foundation Solutions a call. Have them come out there and see, do you have a problem? Maybe you don't, maybe you do, but man, you want to, foundation stuff in Texas, you want to jump on that fast.
Well, here's the reality. Nothing's going to take the price or the value of your home down quicker than foundation issues. You know, whether that's stuff pulling away from the foundation, whether that's cracks, you know, that Matt just talked about, any of that stuff. And so that's why we'd be laughing, but we'd be dead serious when we talk about getting a colonoscopy for your crib. You know, you do that for your body to make sure your body's functioning properly. You do the same thing for your house. Aaron and his team will send cameras and people up under there and get all, you know, figure out all the stuff that's going on in all the places that you can't see. Get your report back, say, hey, here's the deal. Typically, they don't find anything, but if they do, chances are they caught it early. And we all know the deal. If you catch something early, it's typically only a fraction of the price than if you catch it late. So give Aaron and his team over there at HFX a call. Let them give you the peace of mind that comes from knowing no foundation problems at my crib.
It's easy. He'll get you taken care of. Give him a call, 817-770-0174, or online at hfxfoundation.com. So a quick little trip around the block here, and this always blows my mind, but it happened last Wednesday in McKinney. They opened up yet another HEB. There's one in Frisco, there was one in Plano, and now there's one in McKinney. So they opened it up at Wednesday at 6 a.m. At 6 a.m. in the middle of the week, there were 400 people in line waiting to get into HEB.
Wow.
Some of them had spent the night in the parking lot to try to be one of the first people in line, including some girl who was there since 4 o'clock the previous afternoon. To go into HEB, a grocery store, of which there are other HEBs you can go into.
I was going to say, dog, at the end of the day, it's a grocery store. Now, it's a good grocery store. It's a quality grocery store. And let me be perfectly honest with you. As somebody who enjoys grocery shopping, I really do. I don't know why, but I enjoy grocery shopping. There are certain stores I really prefer to go to. I don't go to them all the time because it's not necessarily convenient. But, you know, I don't know, man. Have you been going to, let me see how I want to say this. I went to an HEB grocery shopping for the first time, probably, and I'm late to the party, man, probably about 2 years ago, bro.
Okay.
But I've had friends who lived in Dallas who used to drive 20-something miles to the one in Waxahachie on a regular basis because they were that loyal to the HEB brand.
Jeez.
And I was just like, wow, really? You do that?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No, but it's a really good grocery store because it has some stuff you don't find at a normal grocery store. Now, how about this? They got wider lanes and aisles so that it doesn't feel quite as congested. But still, you know. Well, see, I told you. I just described a lot of things I like about HEB. I haven't been to an HEB in probably a year.
Yeah, I mean.
Because there's not one near me in downtown Dallas.
I don't know. Now, look, I get it because the first people in line were getting $25 gift cards, and there was a gift basket valued at $500 that somebody won. So I guess if that's your thing, you want that. But some of these people are just so gung-ho about HEB. And to your point, like, look, it's really, really good. The one in McKinney is 118,000 square feet. They have in-store meat cutters and seafood preparers. They have a tortilleria, which is they make fresh tortillas there. They have a sushi thing.
Yeah.
They've got it all. They've got a barbecue restaurant in there, a pharmacy, obviously. I mean, there's just so much there. But I don't know. I mean, especially in Dallas, because I feel like, well, I mean, look, to be fair, some grocery stores are nicer than others and just the quality of what they do. Like some lady in this article I found says that she thinks the produce at HEB is better and the meat is a higher quality. Okay. I don't know. But I will tell you this, ever since I've gotten really into healthier eating,
yeah,
I go to Whole Foods, and there is only one Whole Foods in the Birmingham area, and it is about 20 minutes from where we live, and we drive over there and we grocery shop at Whole Foods.
I'm laughing because last week I decided, you know what, I'm going to do a whole gourmet meal kind of thing. And because I decided that, I've got two grocery stores near me. One is a Tom Thumb and one is a Cost Plus. The Cost Plus has a couple things in there I like. It's more convenient because it's literally like a mile away. But because now this, I find this all interesting, and we're about to go down a very quick rabbit hole. And it ties in exactly with what you're saying, Matt, which is you like a certain quality of food, a certain caliber of food. Well, Cost Plus tells you by its name, we're trying to save you money. And so, what's the leanest ground beef you can find in Cost Plus, bro?
Man, I don't know. Now I got to know. This is interesting.
Okay, now check this out. And I'll give you this as a backdrop. And all you people know that me and Matt are into health and nutrition, so y'all will enjoy this conversation. I demand that you do.
So typically meat comes in either 73% lean, 27% fat.
Yeah.
81-19, 80-20, 85-15, 93-7, 96-4, which means you put that thing in there, there's no fat to get out at 96-4. All of those cost more. The more lean it is, the more it costs. So given that, you can't find any ground beef in cost plus that's leaner than 81%.
That's amazing.
And again, I'm telling you, I'm in downtown. Wow. And so that portion of downtown is clearly, they believe that supermarket is not built for people who have a lot of income, which is why typically poor people have diabetes and poor eating habits and all this, because the food at their grocery stores is far, far inferior to what you find at, like, you know, place where they put a grocery store in the neighborhood where they think it has money. The Tom Thumb is fine. You can find all the stuff you want over there. Because I was fixing what I considered myself to be a gourmet meal, I did what Matt did. I drove an extra 10 minutes and went to the Whole Foods on Oak Lawn because I said I want a good quality piece of meat. And so I went to the butcher at the Whole Foods and said, hey, tonight I'm having a treat. What's the best ribeye you have? He said, oh, get this organic one, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I'm riding with you tonight. I'm taking your suggestion. I'm not even talking to you. I'm not even arguing with you today. Just give it to me. And so I got all my ingredients there. The meal was fabulous, blah, blah, blah. But the whole point was, when I wanted the best food for this meal that I was going to actually spend some time cooking, not just slap it in the air fryer, where did I go? I went to what I deemed the best grocery store around me, which was Whole Foods.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because once, and we've talked about this on the podcast, but I've gotten into that. And so a lot of the things, I was talking about researching the egg farm and all this type of stuff that I've gotten into, yes. It's at Whole Foods, I can find the types of things that I want to eat. And it's interesting because, yes, does it cost more? It does, generally speaking. Organic and things of that nature are going to cost you a little bit more. But I think this is really fascinating because I was reading a book a while back about food and all this type of thing. And there are countries around the world, especially in Europe,
right,
where they spend a much higher percentage of their income on food and eating at home than Americans do. Because we will spend so much money eating out and on fast food and whatnot.
Bro.
And I thought that was really interesting of, you know, if you start cutting back on going out and eating fast food, you actually have more money to spend on groceries and eating at home.
Bro, you know what? I spent years saying this. And I mean it. Just like I said, just like I was just telling y'all this story. I have no problem going to the grocery store, buying the best cuts of meat or the best this or whatever your favorite thing is, because ultimately, Matt, it's cheaper than going out. Like that ribeye I bought for $16, dude, that thing cost $45 at Bob's Steak and Chop House.
Yeah.
And it wasn't $30 better than what I fixed at home. Now it's better at Bob's Steak and Chop House because he cooks a better steak than me because he's a professional.
Sure.
But it's not that much better. But no, man, I've always been a proponent of go to the store, buy whatever you want, just eat it, because you always come out cheaper at the crib than if you're going to if you're going out to eat. And then, like you said, man, then when you go out to eat, it's like a treat. It's like, hey, let's go out tonight. Let's go somewhere nice. And it becomes a treat and it's all enjoyable. And dude, that's what I've been trying to teach my son as he moves into phase two of his life as a college adult.
Yeah, and it's like we've started to eat more fish, which is a great healthy option. And I get it because you may go, like, salmon obviously can be very expensive depending on the type of salmon it is. But tilapia, for instance, at Whole Foods, you can get wild caught tilapia for like $8 a pound. Well,
right,
a pound of fish, that's like three fillets almost that we can make at home. And so then if it's both of us eating that and we do some other things with it and whatnot, then, you know, you have a nice meal and the total cost for each of us to eat what we made at home ends up being, I don't know, $7-$8, which is what you're going to spend on a fast food meal. But I'm eating something super healthy that we prepared ourselves.
Yeah. So now, obviously, I feel you on that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it can be crazy. I mean, you can go, like you're talking about, with the steaks and the fish and the different things of that nature that are not cheap whatsoever. And it's still hard for me. I mean, there was a time, like, I enjoy salmon, but the kind of salmon that I like to get, man, like, every so often Whole Foods will have it on sale. But when it's not on sale, I'm like, man, I mean, I'll just get the tilapia.
Well, yeah, I actually enjoy salmon myself, so I feel you on that tip, bro. Because I remember a bag at, I'll put it like this, the two pound or 3 pound bag at Costco used to cost $24. Now it costs $32.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, do I like it that much? And I do, but I don't, I have a hard time paying that much for it.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, you start thinking about it and you try and figure it out. And I don't know, it's the world of food is just so interesting because it does take a little bit more effort to eat a certain way because you got to prepare it. You got to think about what you're doing. But I got to tell you, man, the lady, I mean, she can make some food now.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she can. See, this is what's really interesting is I'll open the fridge or the pantry and I'm like, oh, I don't see anything. And she'll open it and she'll be like, oh, we can do this, this, and this. And she'll just create a meal out of nothing. And I'm like, well, I didn't even think about putting all that together. I don't know.
Dude, that's more like me. I have stuff in there and I'm just like, oh, what can I create out of this? No problem.
Yeah. And I'm just, I don't know. But grocery store talk. There you go.
And well, I was going to mention something to you that had nothing to do with a grocery store. And I wanted your opinion on it.
Okay.
I'm talking to my brother last night. For those of you who don't know, my brother is 33, lives in Phoenix. Great dude. And I always say that because we all have siblings we like and siblings we don't like and siblings you feel meh about. Well, my brother's great. Now, obviously, I'm much older, and so I am a true big brother. He is a true little brother, and it's a great relationship. So he calls me up last night, and it's clear, because I haven't talked to him in a minute, but it's clear he needs to vent. So the short version of the story is I'm on the phone for about 2 hours, and I probably spent 15 minutes of talk time because yesterday my role was to be the big brother and listen.
Yeah.
But in the midst of this conversation he's having, he keeps going, well, you know, I need to take a flight here, and I was able to get one for $25, and so I did that, and blah, da, 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 da. And then, okay, we go on about 15, and, you know, then I had to go over here, and I was able to get a flight for like $15 with my pass, and I was able to do this and this and this. And he mentions this about four different times in four different episodes, and finally he said, I said, dog, hold tight. He said, what? What is this pass you keep talking about?
Yeah.
He goes, I got a flight pass. I go, what is that? He goes, oh, I said, Frontier Airlines. You pay $600 up front, and then they give you 90% off of every other ticket you buy for a year. And I started thinking, okay, it's Frontier Airlines.
Yeah.
It's not American. It's not Southwest. It's Frontier. But by the same token, I haven't heard about any of their planes falling out of the air. So do you want to spend $600 for a year-long pass on Frontier if, and they go to all the major cities, if you can get a flight for $20 with a day's notice anytime you're trying to fly somewhere? And I sat there and said, I don't know, but it's worth me thinking about it. So what would you be up for that if you needed to travel, let's say, eight times a year?
Eight times a year. So then basically, yeah, I would, because then if it's, what was the cost? $600, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you do the math on that. If it's $20 a flight, eight times, so you're looking at what, $760 essentially, divided by the eight flights, so that's $95 per flight. Yeah, so generally speaking, I mean, if you're doing eight trips and $95 for a round trip ticket is insane.
And here's the other thing. It's whenever you buy it. So you don't have to get caught up in that whole week, 2 weeks, 21 day thing. If you decide that Monday I want to go to Miami, you can book a flight today for, you know, $25 or $30 one way. Or no, I think it was his flight's a round trip. So $25, $30, $40 round trip to Miami. Again, it's on Frontier, so you know, you're missing some things that you're not going to have with American or Southwest or whatever. But like I said, their planes aren't falling out of the sky.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, yeah, I think if you like Frontier, and I don't know that Frontier comes to Birmingham. I'm sure they do, but.
No, they don't. I checked.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because that's one of those airlines that I don't really ever see around here, but, you know, I'd be, because I fly Southwest a lot.
Right.
Because I like that you don't have to pay to check your bags, which comes in handy for me if I'm traveling with beer and whatnot.
Right.
It never bothered me, so. Yeah, I don't know. I might look into that if Southwest were to offer something like that. But then I'd have to say, okay, if you're going to invest in this, then it's almost like you have to plan to take trips because, or if you just are somebody who travels a lot anyway. Because,
well, see, I was, you know, the first thing I did, and it's amazing how this works, but now that I work for myself and I have to do travel, guess who pays for it? I got to pay for it.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting up there going, you know, like I'm going to training camp in a couple of weeks. And I'm only there for a few days. But as my own travel agent, I'm looking here, and it becomes this, the way the world is now, it becomes, okay, here's a bunch of flights. How do I want to get there? Then it becomes, do I want to rent a car from one of the rental car companies, or do I want to do a Turo?
Right.
You know, like, which is basically Airbnb for cars,
yeah,
which I only found out about like a year ago, you know. And then do I want a hotel, or is an Airbnb cheaper? And so you got all these options floating around, and finally I got it figured out, and actually I ended up winning on it. But just the fact that you got to do all that, it's just great that you got all these options. So once he told me that, man, I started looking around. I'm like, okay, theoretically, these are the trips I could take between now and the end of the year, because they dropped it since we're in the second half of the year. It's like $300. I was like, okay, here are the trips I could potentially take in the second half of the year. Is it worth it for me to get this? And I didn't come up with a conclusion yet, because I had some other things I needed to consider before I travel. But it just it's definitely an option I'll look into for next year when you got the full year. Because then I can really plot the travel for the year and see if it makes sense or not.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, because especially like what you're talking about. Because I was thinking, like, for me, I might go somewhere on a plane, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a year. So I don't know that, I mean, for something like that, for me, it wouldn't make sense. Although maybe that'll change. Maybe I'll be able to start traveling more. Who knows? But
yeah, but I just, I was a little surprised. Once he said it and explained it, I was a little surprised. I hadn't heard about more companies doing that.
Yeah.
Trying to get you to use it. Like, we heard about it with the, didn't we hear about a movie pass like that? $20 and then you can go as many times.
Oh yeah. AMC does the movie pass and they still do that.
Right. But in a streaming world, I don't even want to go to the movies.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it seemed like a good thing to me. If you can make it fit, and the way airline tickets are, especially with the fact that you no longer have to be 2 or 3 weeks ahead of schedule, that's just like, yeah, man, I might could do that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was trying to see. I can't remember how much. It's called AMC's A-List.
Yeah,
and I can't remember how much it is. It's like, say it's $25-$30 a month, but you can see up to 3 movies a week. So that's right. 12 movies a month for $30, let's say, which is a steal. Now, that being said, you got to go and see the movie. There's a dude that works at the station. He does this. He'll go see, like, after the show, a couple times a week, he goes to the movies. And he's like, oh, you got to get it. I was like, dude, I don't, like, I got to be honest with you. I don't care if I ever go to a movie theater ever again.
I'm with you, bro. There's no... Yeah, I don't have going to the movies, who cares?
And I get it. Like, some people love the experience of the massive screen and seeing it with other people. I don't care. And like, oh, well, you know, Oppenheimer and Barbie came out and everybody's doing the Barbieheimer or whatever the crap they're calling it. I said, cool, for me, those movies will come out in about 4 months when I can rent them at home.
Right.
And I'm fine with that. Like, I don't feel the need of, oh my God, Oppenheimer's out, I have to go see it right now. I'll be able to rent it in like 3 or 4 months, so I'll just wait till then. And I'll be just as excited about, oh, this is sweet. Oppenheimer's available now.
I'm not even sure. I've heard of Oppenheimer. What is Oppenheimer?
It's a movie about Oppenheimer, the dude who basically invented the atomic bomb.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a Christopher Nolan movie. So you can go down the list of his greatness and just the people who are in it, a phenomenal cast. And it's 3 hours long, but I'm excited. I want to see it. I just don't want to go to the movie theater to see it.
Right. I feel you on that, bro. I'm in no hurry to get to the movie theater again.
And the last time I went to a movie theater to see a movie was last summer. It's been 14 months ago when Top Gun Maverick came out. And we did that because my son was here for that. And I thought, oh, that'll be fun. We'll just take Maddox to the movies and we'll go watch that. If he hadn't been here, I wouldn't have gone to the movie theater.
Wow.
But it's nuts, man, because I looked up when he was here a few weeks ago this summer. There was, I think it was either The Flash or the Transformers movie that came out. And I looked up at for the three of us to go to a matinee.
Right.
It was going to be, I think it was adult tickets are like $12 each. And I was like, what the hell? Because like, unless you go to the first movie of the day, which I can't go to because of my show, I was going to go like right after the show, like 3 o'clock matinee. I think it was $12 for each adult ticket. And let's say, I think $9 for his. Well, that's 24 plus 9, 33 plus taxes and fees. It was like $45. Like, I'm not going to spend $45 so that we can go watch this movie. That's not happening.
True that.
And he's like, come on, let's go. I was like, I tell you what, dude. One day when you're a dad and you want to spend $45 to go see a movie, you can go do that. I'm not going to do that. Because
I feel you.
We can sit on our couch and watch our 75-inch television and rent 9 movies for the price of going to see one.
Hard to argue with that, my friend.
So that's just how I felt about it. But before we wrap it up, man, we got to... Rangers win 6 in a row. They sweep Cleveland. They sweep Tampa. This is badass, man. They're red hot. And then the Dodgers come to town, and we're recording this on Sunday afternoon, so I don't know what's going to happen today. But 16-3 on Saturday, I think it was 11-5 on Friday, 27 runs allowed by the staff in 2 games.
Whoo, boy.
And they have just run into a buzzsaw. Corey Seager got hurt. They had to put him on the 10-day IL. Adolis got hurt. It left a game on Saturday after getting hit by a pitch, and his next x-rays were a negative, but he's not going to play on Sunday. So, you know, Glenn Otto comes in and just gets shelled, and they send him down to AAA and call Owen White back up. So it's the ebb and flow of the season, man. But God, I wasn't expecting this. It's one thing to lose a couple of games, but I mean, they are just getting churned by the Dodgers.
Yeah, but I think... And we don't know how the game Friday night would have gone. But if you look at Friday night, the Dodgers center fielder on back-to-back plays takes at least a double, maybe a triple away from Tavares with a sensational full-length body-diving catch in left center field. And he follows that up by jumping over the wall and snatching a homer from Semien on basically back-to-back batters.
Yeah.
At the point where the Rangers could have gone up by a couple runs if those plays had gone through their natural completion. In which case, maybe they'd have been able to hold on and win the game. Instead, they took a 5-4 lead on Seager's homer in the 6th or something like that, and then the Dodgers scored the last 5 runs, and then they beat them 16-3. So basically 21-3 in the last 12 innings or something like that, 21-5 in the last 12 innings. But to me, it's always – I don't get caught up so much in the day-to-day thing. I look at the trend. And the trend is they're starting pitching. We know the bullpen's shady. Now those starters are starting to look a little shady, bro, in terms of the number of consistent good starts before a bad one. And, you know, they still got to add an arm and a couple of bullpen pieces.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm talking about a starter and a couple of bullpen pieces. Like Eovaldi, they got to skip him in the rotation now. They've already skipped Perez in the rotation. John Gray's got a bruised shin, got hit with a line drive last week. You know, it's just I'm going to run this past you. Somebody had a great stat last week. I would give them credit, except Y'all know I consume so much, I literally can't remember where I heard this from. So if you're listening, forgive me. I'm trying to give you credit, but I can't remember.
Okay.
But they said, and you can look it up while we're talking, Matt, that each of the Rangers' starting pitchers, their primary five, are already at like what they pitched last year in terms of innings, or very close to it. And this person wondered, given that they're already there in July, what will they have left for August and September? Because they're already at the thresholds that they reached last year. And I was like, well, that's a very good point. And that's a point that, you know, that can play out and that's worth paying attention to, because we know pitchers and arms, man, they're very, very finicky.
They are. And, you know, like you said, Skip and Eovaldi, where his velocity's been down
for weeks. For several starts.
Yeah. And that obvious, there's some sort of a concern there. But okay, so here it is. Just I'm using him as an example. He made 20 starts last year for Boston, 109 innings pitched. He's at 123 innings pitched this year in 19 starts for Texas. Now, the year before for Boston, he threw 182 innings, but right. Going back to the point of 182 innings was 2 years ago, and that was the most he had thrown in a few years.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, it is kind of interesting. Now, just looking at that, I was trying to compare. Yeah, it's, let's see, John Gray threw 127 innings last year. He's at 103 innings so far this year.
Dane Dunning threw 102 this year. He threw 153 last year.
Yeah, now Perez is obviously here. Look, Perez threw 196 last year. He threw 96. The problem is that Perez has reverted back to what he was.
Which is why, and I like Perez for what he is, but that's why I was like, I don't care what he did last year. Given his history, there ain't no way in the world I get that dude a long-term deal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making $19 million this year, and by baseball standards, that's fair. But he is he's an end-of-the-rotation innings filler. And if he comes up 500 and can just show up every 5 days, that's fine. But he's not a guy you can count on to stop losing streaks or anything else.
Yeah, and then Andrew Heaney threw 72 innings last year for the Dodgers. He's at 96 this year. 96 is the most that he's thrown in a season. Well, okay, in 2021, he threw 129.
But even that, relatively speaking, is not a big number.
Yeah, so that's actually a really good point. So they're going to have to go out and get some arms, because their entire starting rotation, which is why they're skipping guys in starts and why they're calling Owen White up and trying to get these dudes to make some spot starts from time to time.
And we haven't even, and it's too early to discuss this, but we haven't even talked about the stress of postseason innings.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these are regular season innings where, hey, we got the Royals in town this week. Let's breeze through eight today. No, we're not talking about the stress of the postseason. So it's just something it's not gloom and doom. It's just something to be aware of and keep an eye on. You know, because it's something out there that needs to be paid attention to.
It is, and it's going to be interesting to see moving forward. But again, I was thinking about this. I had this conversation, maybe with just myself, or I mean, it's not there's a ton of Rangers fans to talk to around here, but I, at the beginning of the year, I did pick the Rangers to make the playoffs. I thought that they could get that second wild card. I thought they might be able to win 85, 86 games. Well, they're on a pace to win 96, 97. So even if they fall off a little bit, if they don't win the division, I mean, they're still very much in this thing. And I never thought that they would do what they've done so far this year. So it feels like if there is a little bit of fall off, that's probably more kind of what we were all expecting. And that's fine, yeah. But this is still a really good team. And they do have, as we've talked about many, many times, they have the pieces in the minors. If they want to make a move, they can make a move. They can make like a legitimate move if they want to.
One of my favorite people, I don't talk to him often, but he's one of my favorite people. He's a guy named Christopher Scott. He was a death row exoneree. That tells you what kind of dude he is, which means he was sitting on death row about to get killed for something he didn't do, got exonerated, and now he spends his life helping people who are in his situation. But that dude, I love him, but he is the most,
what's the word, a negative hometown fan ever. He puts this out yesterday, man, and I just saw it because it popped up on my feed. He's talking about the Rangers and the Dodgers. Yeah. Embarrassing is all I can say. The pitching and our bats being inconsistent is the trouble we faced all year. And I almost sent him a text that said, bro, you realize they're leading the division by 4 games and they have the 3rd best record in the American League and the 4th best record in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. And the team, and this is about the ebb and flow of baseball. What is one reason why they swept Tampa Bay? I'll tell you what it is. Tampa Bay had lost like 4 or 5 in a row already, or 6 out of 7 or something like that. What's one reason the Dodgers are kicking their ass right now? Because the Dodgers have won something like 8 out of 9 or 8 in a row or something like that. It happens in baseball where you get hot and it doesn't really matter who you're playing at a particular time. You're about to run through them. The Rangers just won 6 in a row. If they get one today, fantastic. Even if they don't, are you going to try to tell me this hasn't been a really good homestand? Like, if I had told you coming into this homestand that you have Cleveland, Tampa Bay, and the Dodgers for 9, most people would have taken 6 and 3. Man, we'll take that all day long.
Yeah, that's true.
5 and 4 is probably what we're going to get with 6 games against Tampa Bay and the Dodgers. And so if you can end this thing, they're guaranteed 6 and 3, which is a nice homestand, but they can go 7 and 2 and figure out a way to win today. Dude, that's winning. That's what you do. And so, you know, we always say you can't have that football mentality in baseball.
That's very true, man. This is a good baseball team. It just is, and it has been all season. It'd be nice to get the last one against the Dodgers for a little bit of momentum, because they are going on the road to Houston on Monday, and then they'll be in San Diego later this week. Man, it'd be nice to get a little bit of a positive. And, you know, hey, it'd be nice to go to Houston and sweep them. But
right.
I don't know that that's happening. All right, that is the podcast, my friends. We got a couple more episodes coming your way this week, so we will talk to you again on Wednesday. And we'll see what happens. State of the team address with Jerry and Steven and Mike McCarthy out there from Oxnard will happen. And we'll have some conversations about what we learn, what we hear from that. But Cowboys training camp week is here. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to the Jam Session Podcast. Make sure to find us on Instagram at Jam Session Cast. Of course, you can also find us on Twitter at McMatt Radio and at JJT_journalist. Our podcast is sponsored by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law fights the legal battle so you'll have time for healing and renewal. Give them a call at 972-934-8900. Greening Law, Office, Dallas, Texas. As always, thanks to Purple Elephant Music for the music you hear at the end and the beginning of each episode. He, of course, is the radio, TV, and now podcast star, the sexy Jean-Jacques Taylor. And me, well, I'm just a guy, Matt McLaren. We'll catch you next time right here on the Jam Session Podcast, available everywhere you listen to podcasts.